Crossing the gap. Knowing isn't doing. From knowing to doing. Contrary to popular belief about habits and behavioral change, there is no such thing as a guaranteed formula for success, let alone one simple method that will do the trick. There are simply too many elements at play. People have different personalities, preferences, motivations, perceptions, talents, competencies, and thus respond differently to specific opportunities, rewards, and strategies for change. Nevertheless, behavioral and neuroscientific research show that even though we are all different, our brains tend to process key aspects of our behavior in the same way. People generally respond similarly when confronted with obstacles or when processes and routines are made easier. For example, most people tend to choose options inside the box, for example, eating airline food, whether they like it or not, and even when they are not hungry at all. And they eat more when more food is available, for example, at self-service buffets or when eating from bigger plates. Understanding the principles of how people respond to cues that trigger their behavior, as well as how habits are formed and broken, can make it easier for you to cross the infamous gap between knowing and doing. In this chapter, I will focus on 10 strategies that have helped millions of people make lasting changes in their lives. Some are based on ancient ideas that have stood the test of time. Others are based on more recent findings. Although I will be focusing on health-related behavioral changes, it's worth noting that you can apply each of these strategies to any kind of behavior you wish to change. It's up to you to find out which strategies work best for you. I encourage you to scan all of them and focus on the ones that you instinctively feel are going to work for you. Try them, test them, and see which ones are most effective. Top strategies to help you make lasting changes. Plan for success. Turn your actions into habits. Track your process. Deal with distractions. Adjust. Don't skip. Keep adjusting the bar. Train for setbacks. Focus on your wins. Commit yourself. Experiment. Applying any of these strategies will help you progress towards your objective. While each of them will impact your behavior differently, they will all influence at least one of the three key drivers of your behavior. They will increase your motivation, your ability to follow through, and help you create triggers for your new behavior. As a bonus, because of their impact on your behavior, they can all enhance your self-efficacy. Making positive changes, however small, will make you feel better about yourself. This is just one reason why they can all enhance your well-being. Plan for success. Benjamin Franklin once said, "If you fail to plan, you plan to fail." Whatever you want to achieve, it starts out with a plan. The fact that you are investing time to reflect on your objective and on why you want it, as well as thinking about strategies that will help you reach it, can be a powerful motivation and bring you one step closer to get started with your plan. Define your objective. People are generally aware of the importance of setting goals, and many spend a good amount of their working hours planning and strategizing to enhance performance at work. They know exactly what they want for their business or career. However, when it comes to their personal relationships or lifestyle, they rarely take the time to reflect on their ambitions. The first and foremost thing when you feel the urge to change a behavior is to define your objective. Reflect on what it is you want to achieve, what you want to change, and why. Identifying the purpose of your goal is as important as the goal in itself. It will constantly remind you of of why it's worth working towards your goal. Think big. Strengthen your why. To help identify your purpose, simply ask yourself the three whys. For example, if you want to sleep longer, but often end up going to bed too late, ask yourself, why do I want more sleep? Because I want to wake up less tired and feel more energetic physically and mentally. Why do I want that? Because I want to be in prime condition for the tasks ahead, to have greater focus, creativity, and control throughout my working day. Why do I want that? Because at the end of the day, I want to improve the quality of the interactions with the people who are most important to me. While this exercise might feel a bit childish, it pays off to dig a little deeper, to find the reason behind the reason. A more profound awareness of how you will benefit from specific actions, both in the short and in the long term, is bound to drive your motivation. For example, when you become more aware of how exercise can help you feel better in the short term and can help you reach your objectives in life in the long term, whether related to health, well-being, or performance at work, your chances of you keeping up an exercise routine will increase. Knowing why will motivate you to get up, lace up your sneakers, and start sweating, even when you are not in the mood. It will also help you to stay on track when you run into unexpected barriers that may cause you to think about quitting. How do I do it? I'm simply in a better mood when I'm active throughout the day. My communication with family, friends, colleagues, and clients improves. This is a powerful short-term motivator. Especially when I travel and have to sit most of the day, I can sometimes get grumpy and be short with people around me. When this happens, a short walk or a mini workout can really help me to lift my mood and recharge my batteries fast and effectively. The short workouts, even when they are really very short, always give a sense of accomplishment and make me a more pleasant person to be around, according to my kids. Having a clear vision of your goal and being fully aware of why it matters to you will help you progress towards it. It will free up energy, drive your motivation, guide your day-to-day actions, and give value to them. The more specific and clear your goal is, the easier it will be to stay focused on it, and the better you will be at dealing with distractions. Make your goal SMART. Setting clear goals is easier said than done. To help you remember key aspects of your goal, you can use the acronym SMART. Goals need to be specific, measurable, achievable, relevant, and time-bound. Clarifying your goals by describing these aspects may take some time and energy, but it is guaranteed to pay off. A professional golf player who wants to belong to the top gets his joy out of playing a perfect round. A clear goal could be to win a Masters or to get on the Ryder Cup team in 3 years. A CEO of a multinational who wants to become the global market leader in his line of business might set out to become the number one in Asia and the US in the next 2 years. Both of these goals may be SMART. However, whether they reach them or not depends largely on factors outside of their control, for example, the competition. That is why, apart from defining your results, it is equally important to define the road that leads to them. Define the road to your goal. Take a moment to reflect on the road that will lead you to your goal. What are the most important milestones on the route? Can you define specific achievements that will offer a realistic chance of reaching your objective? In the case of the golf player, a specific achievement could be to finish half of his rounds under par. In the case of the CEO, it could be to open up a branch in at least X countries or to develop Y new products. Unlike results, achievements are, to a very large extent, within your control. There may be unforeseen events along the way. The golf player might become injured. The market might be disrupted by a new competitor. But if everything is business as usual, then achievement goals are controllable and should be set in a way that they can be reached. Once you have defined your achievements, you will need to translate them into actions, your process goals. For a banker who wants to run the 10K with his son, key actions might be the weekly runs that he will do with his son while working up to the 10K run. Other actions may include changes in diet or buying new running shoes. Focus on your process. While results can free up energy and may motivate you to kickstart your new routines, it's good to realize that your initial motivation may decline over time. This is why you should always focus on your process goals once you get started. Every time you follow through with your process, it will make you feel good, which makes it easier to pick it up again if you miss a planned action. If you want to lose weight, you could say, "I will have a healthy breakfast, I will walk outside during lunch, and my snacks consist of nuts and veggies." The takeaway is that both result goals and performance goals are useful, but your focus should be on the process. That's what eventually achieves the results. Go for the bullseye. Clear goals have the power to drive your motivation and will guide your actions along your way. That said, clarity in itself does not guarantee success. When stated negatively, a goal can also work against you. Goals that focus on avoiding failure instead of being successful may lower your motivation, trigger uncertainty, and decrease your chances of success. Any golf player who has ever tried to not hit the bunker will have experienced firsthand what a poor strategy that is. Focus on that one chance that you have to hit the green, and chances are much bigger that you will. A clear, positively formulated goal has the power to motivate and enhance focus. Goals that aim to prevent negative outcomes also tend to take the fun out of the process. There is nothing tangible to gain, and you can only fail. At best, you have avoided failure instead of taking home a win. And it's those wins that can help you stay motivated, since they strengthen the positive association with your actions. So, aim for positive results, and don't include what you will not be doing. Instead of saying, "I will eat less unhealthy snacks," you can say, "I will eat 3 healthy snacks during the day." Use positive language. Words matter. In order for your goal to structurally motivate you, it is important to use positive and strong language. It's all about adopting a certain mindset. If I would tell you, "I should actually try to work out more," would that sound sincere? However, saying, "I will exercise more starting tomorrow," has an entirely different ring to it. The words you choose to set your goals are often a reflection of what you think of them. However, be aware that this also works the other way around. By using strong language, you can also change your mindset with regard to your goals. We now see 2 short columns. The column on the left is entitled "Words to Avoid." The column on the right, "Words to Use." And there are 7 examples of each. So, for example, words to avoid, must, need, have to. Instead, use want to, choose to. Avoid not, use will. Avoid yes, but use yes, I will, dare. Avoid try, use can or experiment. Avoid should, or maybe, use do, will. Avoid but, use and. Avoid success and fail, use do and learn. Visualize your goals. Imagine yourself finishing the 10K. Imagine yourself 10 kilograms lighter. Imagine that you are already there and feeling as many details about the experience as you possibly can. Think, for just a moment, about what you will do, feel, hear, smell, and see. Visualize yourself reaching your goals, and you are one step closer to actually doing so. Apart from the fact that visualization helps to set clearer goals, it can also be a powerful tool to improve your results while you are working towards them. By repetitively going through the process of reaching your goal, imagining it in as much detail as possible, you are actually preparing neural networks in your brain to do the real thing. So, when the time comes, it will be easier to do what you set out to do. It works for giving an important presentation, or going on that afternoon run even when it is raining cats and dogs, and also for graciously declining that second piece of pie. By seeing yourself go through the motions, and seeing your desired outcome in advance, it will be easier to follow through when the time comes. Visualization works for all types of goals. That's why so many athletes have images of themselves winning, breaking their personal bests, and doing all the tasks they need to do in order to get the results. From a golfer who imagines his or her pre-shot routine, to a sprinter who imagines his or her start, to a bobsleigh pilot who imagines going down the entire run. No matter how small, simple, or complicated the tasks, visualizing them in advance will make you perform better. What may be even more important is that it will also increase the chances of doing it in the first place. This is why it's such a powerful motivational tool for people who want to make changes in their lives. Visualization helps you to create a self-fulfilling prophecy. Nota bene. Never lose sight of what you want to achieve, that silver cup glittering in the sunshine as you hold it up to the cheering crowds, but be sure to focus intently on the process you need to undertake to achieve it. If you want to shape up, envision yourself working out hard, building up a sweat, and eating healthy as well, rather than just imagining yourself instantly fit. Focus on actions. They provide the results. Begin with the end in mind. In general, people tend to underestimate what they can achieve in the long run, say, 5 years from now. At the same time, they tend to overestimate what they can achieve in the short term, which causes them to set unrealistic short-term goals. By doing so, they set themselves up for frustration, which all too often leads to people giving up. The moment they fail in the first few weeks, they throw in the towel and sabotage the more substantial 3-month or 1-year goal in the process. This is one of the reasons why so many people are unable to follow through with their New Year's resolutions after February. They basically set themselves up for failure by aiming too high. Instead of aiming for lofty goals in the weeks and months to come, give yourself some time. Reflect for a moment on where you want to be in 2, 3, or even 5 years from now? What do you really want to achieve in the long run? Once you have a clear vision of that goal, work backwards to the starting point. Define the milestones, performance goals, you need to reach to stay on track for your long-term goal. Where do you want to be in 2 years? To reach this, what do you need to do this year, this month? Working your way back to this month and this week is bound to help you set more realistic goals and create more urgency to act now on your short-term goals. Limit and focus. Aiming to change 2 behaviors to start with is far more effective than kick-starting a comprehensive program that involves making a complex set of changes at the same time. Even if all single changes are simple, don't let yourself be tricked into so-called reboot systems that only demand that you completely change your lifestyle in just a number of days or weeks. Aim for a high frequency. When it comes to execution, frequency is king. Doing a little, a lot, beats 1 big burst a week. By spreading out your activities, you will get used to doing them faster. Also, it will not matter as much when you miss one opportunity. When you work out, say, 10 minutes a day and miss one, it will barely impact your week's total. Aim for 2 35-minute sessions, and missing one lowers your result by 50%. Don't put all your eggs in one basket. Spread out your activities. Make your steps ridiculously small. When it comes to following through on your planned actions, motivation and willpower will not always be your most reliable partners, however enthusiastic you initially were about your goals. Long days at work, irritations, having to make tough decisions, and even bad weather, all of these factors may compromise your execution power. Combined with the distractions and temptations that are practically always around, they can sometimes make it seemingly impossible to stick to your plan, especially when you are tired, stressed, or just not in a good mood. This is why you should never rely on your execution power alone. An effective way to make your changes less dependent on your ability to execute is to make the steps smaller and preferably ridiculously easy. This is practically guaranteed to increase your success rate. How do I do it? One way of making steps smaller is by taking away all the barriers that prevent you from taking them. For example, I used to be hopeless at sending greeting cards, or answering letters for that matter, until one day I felt so guilty for not responding to a letter from my favorite grandmother that I decided to invest in proper writing paper, greeting cards, I now have them for every imaginable occasion, and an unlimited supply of stamps. This makes it so much easier to send a personal letter or card. Whatever the occasion, I don't have to go out and buy a card or stamps. Trust your process. In order to be successful at any kind of plan, you need to trust the process. If you don't believe that following through with your planned actions you will achieve your desired results, you will eventually lose motivation and quit. If that's the case, go back and adjust your goals, or adjust the process that leads to them. Ask yourself, what do I need to do to reach my goal? In my case, my goal is getting at least 8 hours of sleep. The question is, do I really believe that 8 hours is going to help me have better relationships with the people around me? Be more open to feedback, more patient with my kids at the end of a long day? More caring to my partner? Whatever you do, you'd better believe it is going to work for you. Not believing in what you do is bound to have a negative impact on your results, and your efforts could turn out to be a waste of time. On the other hand, Believing in positive results is bound to improve them. This has been shown in many studies and is often referred to as the power of positive, realistic expectations. In 2007, Harvard scholar Alia Krum, now principal investigator at Stanford's Mind and Body Lab, conducted a study in which key health aspects of 84 female housekeepers working in 7 different hotels in the United States were measured. The women were interviewed about their lifestyle and health, their weight, body fat, waist-to-hip ratio, and blood pressure were also measured. Even though housekeeping is physically demanding and implies doing moderate-intensity exercise, pushing heavy carts, vacuuming, lifting mattresses, most of the housekeepers believed that they were not exercising enough. One-third even said they never got any exercise at all. This was reflected in their health data, which resembled that of sedentary people. After the initial data gathering, housekeepers at 4 of the hotels received a 15-minute training session in which an instructor explained how housekeeping qualifies as exercise. They were told that the work they did was good exercise and were shown a poster which included examples of their daily activities, including the number of calories they burn. They were told explicitly that they were meeting the guidelines for physical activity and that they should expect to see health benefits from their work. The other housekeepers did not receive this information. Instead, they got information about the importance of physical activity, but were not told that their work qualified as exercise. After 4 weeks, the behavior of the housekeepers had not changed. But the health outcomes of the group that was told they were exercising enough had already significantly improved. Not only did they perceive themselves to be getting significantly more exercise than before, they also showed a decrease in weight, blood pressure, body fat, waist-to-hip ratio, and body mass index. In a later study, 46 people were invited to drink 2 380-calorie milkshakes on 2 separate occasions, under the pretense that it was either a 620-calorie indulgent shake or a 140-calorie gluten-free shake. Both times, the shakes had misleading labels that included the names and numbers of calories that were supposedly in the shake. During both visits, blood samples were taken to measure the participants' levels of ghrelin, the hunger hormone, and they were asked to rate the milkshake. People who drank the indulgence shake produced a much steeper decline in ghrelin compared to the gluten-free shake, which showed a relatively flat ghrelin response. Their satiety was consistent with what they believed they were consuming, rather than the actual nutritional value of what they had consumed. This showed that the effect of food consumption on ghrelin, and thus your hunger feeling, can be mediated by mindset. In other words, what you think about what you eat and drink will influence not only how you feel, but also the response of your body. This is one of the reasons why it is smarter to focus on the benefits of certain food and pay little attention to negative characteristics in the first place. So when you read a headline that says, "Avocados will kill you," just skip the article and go straight to one about superfoods. Turn your actions into habits. However easy your actions may seem when you define them, in practice, they might not always turn out to be as easy as you anticipated. When you're tired or in a bad mood, for example, your brain can easily make you decide otherwise. Conscious decision-making is an energy-demanding task and can actually become a huge energy drain. While you might find it easy to follow through with your good intentions in the morning, it can become increasingly difficult as the day goes by. For example, you may find it much easier to walk past a vending machine in the morning, resisting the temptation to grab a snack. By the end of the afternoon, however, with your system on the lookout for a pick-me-up, chances are that your prefrontal cortex, PFC, which is in charge of executive control, will give up simply because you are tired. At this point, your habits, which are governed by another part of your brain, the basal ganglia, take over, and you'll suddenly find yourself grabbing those cookies again. However small your decisions are, they will come at a cost, and you will need to invest time, energy, and willpower into making them. To make it easier to follow through with your planned actions, even when your execution power is low, it's key to work together with your powerful subconscious mind and turn them into habits. The power of habits. Habits are highly automated forms of behavior that you repeat frequently, whenever you find yourself in a specific situation. Performing them demands very little or no control from the energy-hungry decision-making centers in your PFC. The fact that you don't have to make a conscious decision every time you perform a habit, and that the process of performing the habit itself is highly automated, makes it much easier to follow through with them, even when you are tired or just not in the mood. This is why, even after a long and stressful day, you still end up brushing your teeth. You don't skip this action because it's turned into a habit, a strong habit. You simply go through the routine every night of the week. The power of autopilot. Going through activities on autopilot, for example, parking your car, brushing your teeth, or preparing your lunch, is associated unawareness, not being fully focused on what you are doing. While performing these activities more mindfully can enrich your experiences and help you train your focus, it is important to realize that these automated processes are the exact reason why you have the energy and mental power to work with full focus and be mindful in the first place. Imagine you have to make a conscious decision about everything you do. Full focus to get dressed, to brush your teeth, and to actively think about every single decision you make. Getting ready for work in the morning would take forever and would leave you with little to no executing power for the decisions that really matter later on in the day. Up to 50% of all your daily actions are governed by habits, driven by highly automated processes. The more you can rely on your routines, the less brain power you need to execute your behavior, eliminating unnecessary decision-making processes, and depending much less on your willpower and motivation. This is the main reason why creating habits is such a great energy management strategy, and why your brain is always on the lookout to create new habits. What do many high performers have in common? They rely heavily on their habits and eliminate any unnecessary decision-making from their day. A typical example is that many of them practically always wear the same clothes when they need to perform, or at least they decide on what to wear the day before their performance. Steve Jobs, Mark Zuckerberg, Barack Obama, and many top athletes did and do this. They don't have to waste energy on choosing what to wear. Apart from being energy efficient and reliable, habits, even the most futile ones, boost your energy and mood without you having to barely lift a finger. A well-known example of this is making your bed. in the morning. Once you are accustomed to it, you simply don't have to think about it anymore. It's not a decision you make, you just do it. You'll start your day with an easy accomplishment that, consciously or not, will kickstart your day with a good feeling, typically derived from a job well done. Repeat, repeat, repeat. Repeat a certain behavior day in, day out for a long time, and your brain will create a new neural pathway that supports that specific behavior. How long it takes to create a habit depends on several factors, not in the least on your ability to consistently follow through with your new routine. Over time, months, not weeks, this path gets stronger. The behavior becomes easier to do and becomes a habit. Your brain is always on the lookout to develop new habits. When you repeat a certain task or behavior enough, your brain will divide the tasks into small chunks and automate each and every one of them, to make sure that the more you repeat it, the less brain activity is needed to control the behavior. When you repeat something over and over again, for instance, practicing a new behavior, a batch of cells in the basal ganglia that governs your habits, the stratum, is very active. It is learning the patterns that form this specific behavior. After having executed this behavior regularly, the neural activity drops while performing the habit. The starting point, where the behavior is being triggered, and the end point, when you experience the reward, are still very active. But between these two, the activity in the stratum declines to a low activity state, indicating that the process has been highly automated and that it costs the brain little energy to control the execution of the habit. Stop performing a habit for some time, and the pathway will deteriorate, making it harder to get back into it. Stop long enough, and you will break the habit. This is not necessarily a bad thing, as it also means that you can break bad habits and change them for better ones. It implies that if you want to exercise more or eat healthier, it will cost you more effort in the beginning, since the neural pathways that support the behavior are still weak. Two things that can help you to keep going until your new behavior has become a strong habit and keep them strong are triggers and rewards. A trigger nudges you into performing the behavior, and the reward makes you feel better for doing it and strengthens your motivation to do it again. Install powerful triggers. There are many things that can trigger your behavior. For example, the time of the day, the people around you, your location, or your mood. When it comes to creating a new habit, the trick is to choose reliable triggers that will make it much easier to perform your new behavior. Note, triggers are known by many different names. In behavioral models, scientists often use the word cue, C-U-E, to describe them. Advertisers refer to them as calls to action, and others refer to them as opportunities or prompts. They all mean the same thing: trigger, set off, start, bring about a specific behavior or action. A great way to trigger a new behavior is to connect it to an existing routine, things you already automatically do, preferably every day. For example, you could go for a walk immediately after you've had lunch, floss your teeth after brushing them, stand up every time you have to make a phone call, or drink a glass of water with your coffee. The fact that you don't have to think about the existing habit, which triggers your new behavior, makes it much easier to do. How do I do it? For a good 5 years now, I've adopted the habit of having a glass of water with my coffee. And while it may seem a futile change, it has increased my intake of water by 3 to 4 glasses per day. The important thing to realize is that making these small changes not only provides better results in terms of compliance, they also offer a successful habit change experience, adding to your feeling of competence. Even when a change is seemingly ridiculously small, your brain simply strengthens the idea that you are able to implement change, however easy or difficult that might be. Another effective way to trigger new behavior is to make changes in your environment that nudge you to follow through with it. According to Nobel Prize winner Richard Thaler, who championed the concept, nudges are subtle actions or changes in your environment that can influence your decisions. The right nudges can make it easier to act on your goals and make it harder to do things you'd rather not do anymore without dictating your behavior. While you can use them to trigger any kind of behavior, they are especially well known for their influence on the foods people buy and eat. Here are some examples of well-known effective nudges that you can use when you want to eat healthier food. Put the good food where you can see it. While it sounds too good to be true, it really works. Putting healthy food in sight will make you eat healthier. Hide your cookies. Conversely, research shows that if we simply take things like sweets out of sight, we eat less of them. In one particular study, it was even shown that people even eat more sweets if they are in a glass jar, compared to when they were placed in a non-transparent jar. Don't even buy the cookies. By going a step further and not buying the cookies in the first place, it means that they are not just out of sight, they are not even within reach. This kind of a nudge is often referred to as a default. In a way, it takes the decision-making out of the equation. Use smaller plates. Research shows that people eat more when they get offered bigger portions. The other way around, it works the same. So if you want to eat less, use smaller plates. Brush your teeth after dinner. Start your evening routine after dinner. This will make it much easier not to have that late-night snack, as you will have created a barrier, and will ask yourself, is it worth having that cookie if I have to floss and brush my teeth again? Do your shopping in the morning. Don't go shopping in the evenings when you are hungry. Instead, shop when your PFC is still fresh. Your motivation will be higher, your impulse control is at its best, and thus makes you buy healthier foods and less unhealthy snacks. Put your agenda to use. A practical nudge that works for many people is simply to add your process goals as appointments in your agenda. While it might feel a bit strange to enter a go-to-bed time slot, the imminent reminders will let you know that it's time to start your bedtime routine. Apart from the fact that agendas can offer helpful reminders, planning activities will in itself reaffirm your commitment. This is especially important for exercise and downtime, as most people excel at making excuses to skip sessions. So, when you want to exercise more, take a moment to find the holes in your schedule and start working in regular bouts of activity. Can you fit a 30-minute jog in your schedule every Monday evening? What about that 7 a.m. yoga class at your local gym on Thursdays? Can you pencil in a 30-minute full-body workout on Saturday afternoons? Once you've decided that you're going to dedicate some time to exercising or to practicing a relaxation technique, then schedule it like you would schedule a work-related appointment. Putting it in your calendar will make it so much easier to make a new behavior part of your routine. Let someone else nudge you. Share your goals and let others nudge you, whether it's asking someone to come by your desk when they go for a walk or asking your partner to remind you that it's high time to come to bed, just ask for help. Find co-workers who like to walk outside at lunchtime and remind each other to actually do so every day. When it comes to exercise, it can really help to choose an activity that requires more than a single player. For example, racket sports such as tennis, squash, badminton, or team sports. The fact that the others need you to be there, or that you committed yourself to them and you enjoy their company, can really help you stick to your routine. Talk to the people who have a regular routine of exercising with others, and they will tell you that they often do not feel like going, but rarely miss a training session because they always end up enjoying it and don't want to disappoint their team members. Mikkel, one of my business partners at Lifeguard, has been swimming on Tuesday nights with his best friend Peter ever since he moved back from London in 2002. As a CEO and a man with a wide range of activities, there are always many people trying to lure him into making an exception to the rule. He rarely does. It's the combination of the commitment and the reward, a weekly moment with his oldest childhood friend, that has formed an almost unbreakable habit. All in all, the people around you have a big influence on your behavior. When you go to a party, you generally eat the food served there. If everybody is having a glass of wine, chances are much greater that you will have one too. It makes a big difference if all your friends work out regularly and have plenty of healthy routines or not. When it comes to letting others nudge you, the trick is to surround yourself with people who have the habits you want to have yourself. Choose your triggers carefully. Picking the right trigger for your new routine is an essential first step that will help you translate your actions into powerful routines. Which trigger will work best for you is a personal matter. It depends on the behavior that you want to perform and your personal circumstances. The best way to find out which triggers are good for you is to write down your current habits, the behaviors you perform each and every day without fail. For example, making coffee in the morning, getting dressed, brushing your teeth, sitting down for dinner, cleaning the kitchen after dinner, going to bed. All of these existing habits can be triggers for new ones. In the second list, write down the things that happen to you every day. For instance, you stop at a red light, receive a message, or make a phone call. These events can also act as triggers for your new habit. How do I do it? When I make my morning coffee, I will have a glass of water, or when I clean up after dinner, I will sit down and meditate for 3 minutes. After hanging up the phone, I will take a 1 minute break before I go to my next activity. When I stop at a red light, I will take one deep breath and focus on my surroundings when I breathe out. When I go to bed, I will share or reflect on 3 things that I am grateful for that day. It's these types of small behaviors that over time can form the foundations for strong and lasting habits that have a major impact on your well-being. Always reward yourself. Even more important than the triggers for your new behavior are the rewards that performing them will offer you. Rewards are powerful tools because they make you feel good. They satisfy your cravings and thus strengthen your motivation to repeat the behavior in the future. There are 2 types of rewards for completing a task. Rewards that you desire and decide to give to yourself, such as a milkshake or a new bike. Extrinsic or manual rewards, if you will. And rewards that are the result of the task, such as the fresh scent of toothpaste after brushing your teeth, or the feeling of safety after buckling your seatbelt before driving off, inbuilt or automatic rewards. The key is not to focus on the extrinsic rewards, but to stay focused on the intrinsic rewards you get instantly each time you perform the new behavior. It is these instant rewards that keep your habit alive. Know your desires. Often people are not conscious of what drives their behavior. To better understand why you behave in certain ways, you should think about what motivates you. What is it you are craving for when you go through a routine? The same applies when you want to create a new habit. By finding the right reward to spark a craving and satisfy it, you can boost your chances of carrying out your new habit. For example, if your routine is to have a break around tea time and go to the cafeteria, try to find out what it is you are craving for. Is it the cookies or the social interaction? Whatever it is, be aware of it and find out what fuels your current habits and how you can trigger new ones. The fact that the instant rewards are so important to keeping the cravings alive, that subsequently keep the routine alive, helps explain why it is so much harder to keep up a once-a-week routine compared to daily ones. To fuel your cravings, you need to perform a behavior that offers an instant feel-good reward and perform it again and again. Basically, you want to create a healthy addiction, something you will miss if you don't get. Note, this, of course, also works the other way around and explains why it is so hard to break a strong, bad habit such as smoking. The constant instant reward keeps the habit alive and builds such a strong routine that smokers will go to great lengths to get their next reward. Breaking bad habits. Whenever you feel the urge to do something you don't want to do anymore, try to replace this bad habit with another behavior that offers a comparable reward. To determine which behavior is going to be an effective replacement, you need to find out what it is that you are actually craving for. Are you always going for an afternoon snack because you feel slow, because you're bored, or is it because you just want to have a chat with a colleague? Apart from understanding your cravings, it's important to find out what triggers you to do something that you regret later on. Identifying the triggers that affect you and being more aware of them in the moment creates a space in which you are able to consciously make a choice. One way of increasing your awareness of the triggers is to simply ask yourself a question: which situations and/or people influence whether or not I follow through with my intended behavior? For example, what happens in the evening that prevents me from going to bed on time? Identifying these triggers can help you avoid acting on impulse. You develop a sense of awareness that allows you to make a choice. Additional rewards. On occasion, allow yourself a treat, such as extra breaks to mindfully enjoy a good coffee or your favorite magazine. The trick is to give yourself something that adds to the feeling of a reward and that helps strengthen your new habit. Your brain will associate the calm, cool, collected, and energetic feeling you experienced during your break with the activity it just went through. The same thing counts for long-term rewards. Let's say your goal was to become more active, and you decided to take up cycling. After a few months of consistent practice, rewarding yourself with a new bike can be a smart move. If you are the competitive type, you might want to get a sports watch with GPS, which allows you to track your speeds and compare yourself to colleagues, friends, or complete strangers who are cycling the same routes. The trick is to reward yourself in a way that will motivate you to stick with your habit. Nota bene. You always have to be cautious with additional extrinsic rewards. While they can be very effective, when adopting a new behavior that does not yet offer a significant intrinsic reward, they might backfire later on. Research shows that offering yourself extrinsic rewards for doing things that you already like to do can actually lower your motivation. This so-called overjustification effect is a phenomenon in which being rewarded for doing something extrinsically can diminish intrinsic motivation to perform that action. So, you may use additional, extrinsic, rewards to get you started or to drive you deeper into your new habit, but never become too dependent on them. Beware of the finish line. Rewarding yourself for making progress and reaching important milestones can be an effective motivating strategy. However, it's important that you don't start seeing those milestones as finish lines. When you do so, your brain will perceive them as an end point, where you have achieved something and at least deserve a break. Something I have seen all too often with people who run a marathon or who have trained hard for a particular swim or bike ride, only to come to a complete stop after the event. When it comes to exercise, people are often really devoted to their goal and train hard, but as soon as they reach it, they stop. What happens is that when you get closer to your goal, your dopamine levels go up, and after you have reached it, they lower dramatically. This means your motivation plummets, which makes it all the more important to make it through the first period after winning the prize. Often people don't continue, mainly because it feels as if they have to start all over again. It is something that people rarely take into account. Once you've reached that milestone, the most important thing is to stick to your routine in the days and weeks to come. Choose a new event, or if you've had enough of them, go for easy versions of your workout routine. Most importantly, refocus on your direct reward, since you cannot run a marathon every month. Adjust your plan in such a way that your immediate rewards are guaranteed. Take the evaluation out of the equation. When it comes to instant rewards, you must leave your decision-making skills out of the process. Instant rewards should be part of the automatic process, the new habit. When you brush your teeth, the reward is imminent. The fresh taste will always be there, just like when you put on your seatbelt. You enhance your feeling of safety while driving. However, taking coffee after a healthy lunch is something you may or may not decide on. Was my lunch healthy enough for me to earn that coffee? Did I try hard enough to meditate to deserve that extra 5-minute break? When you begin to wonder whether you deserve the reward or not, you interfere with the formation of the habit. The whole idea is to form an automatic process. So, think wisely before you choose your rewards and integrate them into your process. Create a strong habit loop. When you constantly trigger and perform your desired behavior and experience an immediate reward, you will create a powerful habit loop. In his book, The Power of Habit, Charles Duhigg shows that habits generally follow this cycle. A great read if you want to delve deeper into the science of habits. The cue routine rewards framework will help turn your actions into habits. However, because it can take quite some time to translate new behavior into strong habits, it's good to know that there are many other complementary strategies that you can use to get off to a good start. Next on this page, we see a diagram that represents the cue routine reward cycle. If you will, it starts number one, the cue or the trigger that starts the habit, cue, goes to number two, which is the routine, the action you take, the habit itself, and then it completes the circle to number three, which is the benefit you obtain from performing the habit. Track your progress. Are you taking the steps you set out to do? Are your process goals turning out to be realistic? Do you need to raise the bar? Or is practice showing that aiming for smaller steps is a better idea. Wearables, such as fitness trackers, provide a clear insight. Seeing how much you have achieved, for instance, how many times you made it to bed before 11 p.m., or how many steps you have taken today, can boost your motivation and ability to complete the behaviors you set out to do each day. The regular feedback offers instant rewards. Every time you check the box, it feels great. Furthermore, just knowing that you are tracking yourself is bound to make you try harder. Last but not least, tracking allows you to see whether you are on the right path or if you need to adjust the plan. The values you track help you see how your actions impact your results. For instance, when you upgrade your exercise routine, you can see your average resting heart rate lowering after as little as 6 weeks. This is typically something that you would probably be unaware of if you didn't wear a fitness tracker. It can be highly motivating to see that your hard work is really paying off and is undisputedly making your heart stronger. When you meditate or perform breathing exercises regularly and track your heart rate variability, HRV, this will allow you to see the impact your practice has on your automatic nervous system or how it affects the restorative quality of your sleep. While this second example may sound very technical or next level, it is something that I have seen many people do, and typically something that can help top performers, both in sports and in business, optimize their already high levels of energy. NB, when it comes to tracking your results, it is critical to focus on the trends and not to obsess over your daily data. So check your results weekly, not every day. Let your tracker nudge you. Apart from passively feeding back your personal data, many trackers are able to generate gentle reminders that can nudge you to follow through with your intended behavior. This can be especially useful when you are closing in on or approaching a daily goal. For example, if you set out to do 10,000 steps and only need 500 more to achieve your goal, getting a message on the way home from work can nudge you into getting off the bus one stop early, knowing that that effort will make you reach your goal. How do I do it? When I have a lot of desk work, I have an alarm go off every half hour. When it goes off, I stand up and sit down. While I don't have to worry about sitting too long when I'm at the office or giving a presentation, it can be a whole different thing when I'm working behind my desk at home, because I often completely lose track of time. Remember to focus on the process. The most important thing when it comes to tracking your progress is to focus on your actions and not your results. You can check them, of course, but it's really not useful to purely focus on things such as body weight, hours of deep sleep, let alone the time you spend in the different stages of sleep, or average daytime HRV stress values. Too much focus on your results can actually be a major distraction and make you wonder whether you're going in the right direction or not. Achieving your results and building the habits that will help you reach them will require time. Track your process every day. Focus on the steps you have to take. Reflect on your progress. Reflect on your progress once in a while by asking yourself a few questions. For instance, did I make my goals clear enough? Did I do my best to progress towards them? Did I make a serious effort to perform the behaviors that I set out to do? The trick is to state your reflective questions in an active form about what you did or tried to do and not about things that are out of your control. This way, you remain actively engaged with your goals and fully accountable. Deal with distractions. Most people are well aware of the threat that distractions pose to their work performance. They take effective measures against the constant noise in their open office workspace, the non-stop flow of emails and text messages. As a result, they can focus fully on their most important tasks. Those very same people who are efficient in the workplace often skip their personal health routines because they get distracted. They were supposed to go running, but it started to rain. Their running buddy couldn't make it. The list goes on and on. If you regularly skip your health routines, or end up doing things you really shouldn't do, then reflecting on your distractions can seriously pay off. Being more aware of them allows you to act on them in the moment, and allows you to come up with effective strategies to tackle them in advance. In short, it makes it easier to stick to your plan. Come up with a plan B. Even if you have your workouts scheduled in your calendar, life, with a capital L, can get in the way. This is why you should always have a backup plan. If you're too busy to make it to the cycling class, go for a short run. If your back hurts, go for a walk. If it's raining, do 3 times 10 push-ups. The trick is to reflect on your weak moments, those moments when you are easily distracted and inclined to make choices that you will regret later. Nota bene. If you are constantly distracted and keep finding reasons to deviate from your plan, then it's high time to re-evaluate your goals. Sometimes, thoroughly reflecting on your why and lowering your expectations is all it takes to eliminate your distractions. Adjust. Don't skip. Consistency is crucial when it comes to building strong routines. However, this does not mean that you have to complete your whole routine all the time. When you're in the middle of a hectic week and you feel far from fit, you're much better off doing a low or moderate intensity workout instead of your regular midweek HIIT. While it might feel great to go all out, it's important to realize that your system has enough stress to deal with as it is. A hard workout in your current state may leave you with depleted batteries for the days to come. In this case, adjust your workout to what your system can handle, and give your body the extra recovery time it needs. It is better to adjust your workout than to skip it. Invest in future wins. Throughout your journey, there will be times when your motivation and energy are extra high. When this happens, invest that energy into strategies that will secure future wins. Instead of going for an extra run, think about how you can make your future steps easier and more appealing. For example, if you want to meditate, but you are often distracted by the surroundings, go out and buy noise reduction headphones. Or if you want to eat healthier, but often find yourself short on time to buy fresh foods on weekdays, have them delivered to you on a fixed day of the week. Making future steps smaller increases your chances of following through with them when your motivation is low. One of my colleagues, Martin Hirschman, is a former Olympian, trainer, coach, and absolute sports fanatic. Even with all his performance expertise, he, until recently, struggled to go to sleep on time. He would generally make it to bed at approximately 11 p.m., but would then watch at least one or two of his favorite talk shows. As relaxing as that might have been, it robbed him of essential hours of sleep. One day, after a short night, he woke up tired and was so frustrated about it that he literally threw his television set out of the room, smashing it to pieces. His motivation was so high that he decided to end it there and then. With the television set out of the bedroom and the help of his partner, who demanded that he leave his mobile phone downstairs, it was so much easier for him to start getting the sleep he so desperately needed. High motivation helps strengthen your why, and that's what makes it possible to make much bigger steps, giant leaps that drive your future performance. Keep adjusting the bar. When it comes to creating habits, small steps help you to get off to a good start. They demand less willpower and motivation, increase your capabilities, and make it easier to follow through with your routines. Over time, however, when the habit strengthens, you may need to adjust the bar to increase the challenge. Think back to some of your greatest personal accomplishments, the ones you are most proud of. Chances are that they were pretty hard to achieve. Often, the harder an action is, the more motivating and rewarding it will be. How much more you need to challenge yourself is a personal thing. While some people need new challenges constantly to stay engaged, others stay motivated going through the same routine for decades. In addition, your need for challenge will vary strongly from one habit to another. For example, going for a walk with your dog at night can be something you do for years. It always offers the same reward, the companionship, feeling of calm, reflecting on your day. Whereas when it comes to your workouts, you may feel the need to try out new things, to push harder, or to sign up for events to keep it interesting. When your behavior no longer satisfies your needs, it is time to reflect on your cravings and rewards. Reconsider what you are doing. It may be time to raise the bar. Try out new things. Having said that, you might at some point become bored with what you're doing, no matter how much you liked it initially. When this happens, don't push any further, as this only leads to diminishing returns. Consider a new workout, a different relaxation technique, change your menu, or set a new goal to challenge yourself. The trick is to try new things every once in a while. We all need a change from time to time. Whatever you choose, make sure to keep it interesting and lock down that intrinsic reward. How do I do it? I accept the fact that there are some habits for which I need constant change to keep myself involved. For example, I will frame my relaxation habit in a flexible way, leaving myself with plenty of room for variation. While this may sound controversial, makes my process goals less smart, it is key to keeping my relaxation habit alive, as the freedom to choose whatever I deem fit in the moment aligns strongly with one of my core values. So instead of saying, I will meditate for 20 minutes every day, I made a strong commitment to take at least 30 minutes of downtime every day for the rest of my life, in addition to normal breaks during which I practice an activity which can trigger my relaxation response. It can be a walk, a meditation session, a breathing exercise, or listening to music with full focus. Whether I am in the office, in meetings with clients, or training a group of people, I will always prioritize this time above anything else that pops up in my mind. Train for setbacks. Despite your best intentions, it is highly likely that you will experience setbacks. Whether it's setting out to take more steps, go to bed earlier, or practice meditation 3 times a week, there are bound to be moments when things will go differently and you won't be able to follow through with your intentions, no matter how strong your habit is. You could be ill or tired from a bad night's sleep, or you might not be able to find your keys. In real life, there is an endless list of events that can keep you from sticking to your routine 100% of the time, even when your motivation is high and your planning is impeccable. It's important to realize that setbacks are normal, even when you are implementing new behavior. even when it has become a strong routine. Chances are that you still won't go through with it from time to time. Do not let that deter you from pursuing your normal routine. While it's good to hold yourself accountable, it is important that you don't criticize yourself every time you miss an opportunity, as this may cause self-doubt and will impact on your motivation negatively. To make sure that you don't beat yourself up too much every time you face a setback, it can be helpful to reflect for a moment on those situations. Imagine that you're supporting a friend who has just told you about making the same mistake. What would your feedback be? Chances are that you would be lenient with your friend. The key is to plan and prepare for a setback, in the same way a pilot prepares for a mechanical failure. Practice that imaginary conversation with yourself in advance. Be kind. Accept the fact that you missed an opportunity for whatever reason and get back on track. Focus on progress, not on perfection. Focus on your wins. In general, people are inclined to focus more on things that didn't go so well. Think back to your last performance review or self-evaluation process, and chances are that you instantly know what I'm talking about. You simply remember negative things better than positive ones. While this negativity bias might be a useful mechanism from an evolutionary perspective, as it can prevent you from making the same mistakes twice, it can also result in negative thoughts about your progress, which is not exactly good for motivation. Focusing more on the things that go well has a positive influence on your motivation. So when it comes to rewarding yourself, it is important to focus on the things that you did do instead of on the things that you did not. And when you fail to do them once or twice, don't be too hard on yourself. Let's say that you set out to go to bed before 11 p.m. during the week, but you don't make it to bed before 1 a.m. on Tuesday. You might be inclined to think, I didn't make it today and have ruined my chances of reaching my weekly goal. Instead, focus on the number of times you did go to bed on time, highlight them, and reward yourself after completing 5 nights, regardless of how many attempts it takes you. Focusing on your wins will motivate you to stick to your routine. Connect the reward to the number of times that you went through with your behavior. Do not underestimate your own achievements. Running 5K, or going to bed 30 minutes earlier on weekdays, or drinking 2 to 3 extra glasses of water per day, they are all tremendous achievements if you were not doing any of them a year ago. However insignificant they may seem, the first, running 5K, is bound to have significantly improved your overall fitness. The second, going to bed 30 minutes earlier on weekdays, has offered you more than 100 hours of extra sleep this year. And the third, drinking 2 to 3 extra glasses of water per day, has practically guaranteed to have improved your average daily fluid intake. When changes, however small, become strong habits over time, they will significantly impact your quality of life, and it's you who made them possible. Take credit for your achievements. Commit yourself. Skipping the conscious act of committing yourself will decrease your chances of success before you've even started. So, once you have defined the steps towards your goal, it is critical to commit yourself to making them. It will make it harder to quit, even when you are tired, not motivated, or not in the mood. Put it in writing. Putting your goal on paper helps to commit yourself to it. Visualizing your goal is great, but writing it down forces you to be more specific and makes it concrete. As always, focus on your process. Write down the steps that you will take, and once you get started, take some time every week to reflect on and write down the efforts that you make each day. Pin your goals to the wall. Having a visual reminder of your goal helps to keep it top of mind. It is a quick reminder of why you started in the first place, and will allow you to evaluate your progress. Your mind will notice the difference between where you are now and where you want to be, and this will create pressure to change. Share your goals. A great way to strengthen your commitment is to share your goals with your friends and family. This way, you can use the expectations of others, in particular the people who are important to you, to stay focused on your goal. If you commit privately to eating a healthier diet or going to yoga class twice a week, no one will judge you for that second piece of cake or for skipping a class because no one knew about it. Nota bene. Beware of sharing over-ambitious goals you can only dream about. It will not bring you closer to your goals. In fact, sharing them might even reduce your chances of achieving them. Talking about them to your friends might make you feel good, but it can also trick your brain into thinking that you are almost there and actually lower your motivation to act on your process goals. You may discuss your dreams with your friends and ask them to help you plan to achieve it and challenge you whenever they can. Do what performance and leadership coach Mark Nicholson did when he wanted to shape up and lose weight. Write an email to your close friends and colleagues at work. Explain your goal and how you will work towards it. By sharing your strategies, the people close to you will hold you accountable and help you to act on your goals. Sign up for an event. Whether your goal is to run, cycle, or swim more, or practice any other activity, it is a good idea to sign up for events. It will drive your motivation, especially when you set yourself a challenging goal. Commit yourself to the minimal version of your routine. Whatever happens, always commit yourself to the easiest version of your new routine. Whether it's your workout, a healthier lunch, your meditation practice, or going to bed earlier. Decide on what the smallest possible step is and stick to that step 100% of the time. This way, you will keep your routine alive. A practical way of defining what that minimal version looks like is applying the 2-minute rule that James Clear describes in his book, Atomic Habits. While in many cases 2 minutes will only be enough to complete the outset of your new habit, it will definitely help you to master the art of showing up. Furthermore, chances are big that once you've kick-started the process, you will end up by doing more. Once you've put on your running shoes, you'll probably head out for a run. And once you've sat down to do a 2-minute meditation, chances are that you will do 5. Do what Nabil, an exceptionally fit London banker, does. Commit yourself to work out for 10 minutes at an easy intensity. You will see that once you are there doing it, you will end up feeling much better and wondering why you doubted doing it in the first place. Experiment. In my experience, you can't predict what works best until you put yourself to the test. Stay the course by practicing with focus. Experiment. If you're trying to exercise more, try jogging before work for 1 week and after work the next week. Which one works best for you? Basically, this is about using your growth mindset. Try new things, give it some time, and see what works best for you. Experimenting also keeps things interesting. Some people will happily do the same thing over and over again, while others become bored and need to constantly develop new habits. They might run for years and then all of a sudden switch to cycling or yoga. Essentially, it doesn't matter what you do, as long as you change from one healthy routine to another. Give it all you've got. Just as there is no such thing as a free lunch, so you will need to put in some effort to make lasting changes to your behavior. You will need to push yourself, no doubt. But the good news is that this perseverance comes with an intrinsic reward. Pushing hard is exactly what makes you feel good in the end. If necessary, go back to the drawing board. If what you need to do is not worth it to you, then go back to the top of the list. Readjust your plan and make it worth something to you, something that matters and that you will enjoy. Make it about your family, your kids, your career, or even your reason for being. Find a reason to improve the way you eat, move, sleep, and relax, because you and the people around you deserve it. Enhance your well-being and live a better life. Pay it forward. Lead by example. Create opportunities for others. Pay it forward. How you behave affects the people around you, including their behavior. Research shows that any person's behavior can easily influence the behavior of 1,000 people. In practice, this means that your behavior impacts the behavior of your friends and colleagues and their friends and colleagues. It also works the other way around. So stay close to people who display behavior you would like to display. As Jim Rohn put it so eloquently, you become the average of the 5 people you are with most. The impact may vary significantly depending on the relationship. For example, if you gain weight, each of your friends will be at least twice more likely to gain weight as well. And when your close friends are also friends, their risk triples. On the other hand, people who know you but don't consider you a friend will not suffer that risk. When it comes to happiness and well-being, the same applies. If you are happy, your friends' chances of being happy will increase. One well-known population study showed that each additional happy friend increases a person's probability of being happy by about 9%, and concluded that happiness is not confined to the individual, but is also a property of the group. People's happiness depends on the happiness of others to whom they are connected. While most people are aware of the influence they have on the behavior of their family, especially their children, many underestimate the impact they have on their friends, colleagues, and other acquaintances. At home, you do the shopping, or your partner does. You either have a glass of wine occasionally, or decide to have half a bottle every day. You impose bedtime rules for your children, or not. You either nudge them into sports, or not, etc. It's important to never underestimate the impact you have, and to realize that you have an opportunity and a responsibility to support others to make healthy decisions that build their resilience and enhance their well-being. Whether you are in a formal leadership role or not, realize that your behavior, even the most subtle cues, will impact how others behave. There are at least 2 powerful ways that you can make that influence work in a positive way. 1. Lead by example. 2. Create a supportive environment. Lead by example. If you need extra motivation, think of your family, your friends, your colleagues, and the impact you can have on their lives. By setting the example, you can, in a powerful way, make it easier for others to change their lives for the better as well. By showing that it's important to you, you send a strong signal to others. And if you don't want to do it for them, do it for yourself, for the way people see you. Ultimately, it's the energy you bring to the table that allows you to make the most out of each moment and every interaction. Create a supportive environment. Think about how you can help people to make healthier choices, how you can nudge them into making decisions that will help them form strong habits. These habits will build resilience and enhance their well-being. Think about the food that you serve when people are coming over for dinner. What do you order when you have clients coming over for lunch? How do you organize your meetings? Are you always sitting in meetings, or do you stand up regularly? Do you take enough breaks? Do you take your clients for a drink or for a walk? Do you regularly send emails in the middle of the night when they could probably wait until tomorrow? Do you encourage your colleagues to keep a healthy work-life balance? Think about how you can nudge people to be more active, how you can make them feel safe in prioritizing their well-being, even when the pressure is on. Help them create opportunities to recover sufficiently, to eat healthy, to take breaks, to be more active, and to obtain the sleep they need. Remember that the benefits of social behavior are mutual. When you give something away, you will always get something back, the uplifting feeling of helping others.